Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's November 2nd, 2021, and welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do is over at ace-ed.org, our magazine, Equity and Access. Go over. You'll love it. All of our podcasts are archived over there, again, ace-ed.org. And also there's a link to SEL Today, our social-emotional learning website, SEL Today. That's at seltoday.org if you want to check that out on its own, but you can link between the two sites, ace-ed.org and seltoday.org. And we're very happy with the way things are going with both of those sites and all the wonderful people. We thank you who go over there every day. We do appreciate it. Got a great show for you today with a very, very interesting gentleman, Deep Sron, and I hope I pronounced Deep's name right. He'll tell me in a second. Is Senior VP of Learning at Achieve 3000, good friends of ours here. But Deep has an interesting background. Before that, he founded a company called Actively Learn. He'll explain that. And then he also founded a school in Virginia called the Loudoun School for Advanced Studies, LSAS. That was in 2008 in Ashburn, Virginia. And the goal of that was to create a level of academic challenge while simultaneously improving how meaningful and enjoyable school is for kids. I love this. I wanted to get into that a little bit, and then we'll talk about how we need to integrate digital curriculum to accelerate learning engagement, especially in these post-pandemic times. So enough of me blabbing. Good morning, Deep. How are you? It's Larry here.
Good morning. How are you, Larry?
I'm fine, as a matter of fact, sir. I love your background, Deep. Talk to me about this. What are you trained as? Are you a teacher? What are you? Talk to me.
So my background is I'm actually a lawyer, and I went back and got my PhD in education to really study, you know, motivation and cognition. But I think at the end of the day, I'm basically still a bored 15-year-old. Wondering, you know, why are we doing things this way? How can we change
that's
it?
Great.
Does this make any sense? So that's really my ultimate qualification to do what I do in education.
That's after reading your bio, I'm not surprised you came back at me with that. I think that is just great, and I want to wish you, I hope you find a nice date for the prom. Let me just say that.
Thank you.
You're waiting. Aren't we all? Okay. And talk about, if you don't mind, I'd love this part of this. You founded the Loudoun School. But talk about this love of learning. And I know this means a lot to you, and I know it means a lot to Achieve 3000, where you're the VP of learning right now. Okay. And just talk about how important that love of learning is. I really like that part of your world.
Well, you know, and I love your focus on STL and kind of the well-being of kids. But at the end of the day, kids are curious, right? We're all curious. And so how do we maintain that? How do we keep that alive? How do we not get in the way of young people just wanting to find out for themselves? So, you know, that's all under the bucket of kind of all in the bucket of love of learning, that we want them to be curious. We want them to feel enabled. So that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, I just think, and that carries over, I know, into the work you do now, and obviously into the work you've always done. I just think it's really a nice thing. We don't say that enough, that there has to
be. Oh, absolutely.
We say a love of learning, but in this case, a real emotional attachment to it. You know, we're curious, and we want to jump on it and all that sort of thing. And, you know, I'll segue poorly here. In these crazy days, okay, where everything seems to be an argument, all right, need I say more about that, all right?
Yeah.
We got real challenges, all right? And we're mixing up learning and teaching and, if I may, aggravation and politics and everything else into all the things we're doing, all right? And a lot of that has taken place because of the pandemic. Things have changed. Let's face it, things have changed. Okay, the way we teach, how we teach, what we teach, et cetera, et cetera. And just from your perspective, okay, the biggest challenge that the leaders and the educators have faced, okay, during and since the pandemic, well, what is it? Deep, what do you see?
You know, I mean, I think you framed it perfectly, Larry. I mean, we're facing unprecedented challenges. What's not a challenge right now, right?
But yeah, everything.
I think.
Thank you.
I think it's really, and this is why I mentioned your focus on SEL. I think it's about the people. So number one, are you able to retain and attract great teachers, administrators, bus drivers, cafeteria workers? And number two, are you able to engage your students? I mean, this is an enormous time of challenge, but also an enormous opportunity to try things differently to maintain that love of learning. So are we able to welcome kids back and show them that they are the most important part of this, even in this politically charged, challenging environment? So number one, it's about the people. Can you retain the right people? Can you engage the students? And I think number two is always about safety, right? It's always, are they safe? Are they healthy? Are we able to manage, you know, the complexity of what will probably be a problem for a long time, you know, with this pandemic continuing? But I would say those are the big two in my mind.
It's really scary out there. And, you know, you said it a minute ago that the people are the key, and we're having so much trouble getting people. All right. And I'm glad you mentioned the school bus driver, the cafeteria worker, the custodian at the school. I mean, all these people, you know, combined to make a great educational experience, not to mention all those trained in education. Exactly. All right. And it's really tough out there. All right. And I don't know. Everything's changed. All right. And there's a different change in the way we react to each other. And when we look at ed tech, all right, these days, all right, what do you see how that has changed, how it's changed, if I may, the personality of education, okay? And I use it as a way to retain people, et cetera. I mean, this is really important stuff.
Yes. And I think, you know, what's great is I can't imagine how we would have done education 20 years ago without broadband, without apps, without computers, without the ability to do video calls and synchronous learning. So in a way, I think, you know, again, with educator and learner at the center, what technology has enabled us to do is provide continuity, to provide constancy. I was just moderating a panel of teachers from around the world, and they said in this time of madness, really, the only constant has been technology. Kids know they can log into something, find their work, they can have a class with their peers. So I think for the first time we realize technology doesn't sit on the side, it sits at the center. And it is maybe the only constant, and it is the way for us to navigate uncertainty. So I think that's the big shift over the last, you know, 20-some months. The technology has moved from a nice-to-have to a must-have. And I think that pivot will be very important for the future of education, both in the U.S. and across the globe.
I think for everyone, as a matter of fact, I did a show many months ago with a school district in Arkansas, rural Arkansas. And during the pandemic, they had the exact challenge that you were describing, that we couldn't live that way. Okay? The kids were so rural, and there was so little broadband, but they still had the pandemic. Okay? They still had to close their schools. All right? And now what do they do? Well, the teachers wound up. It's amazing when we think about it. The teachers wound up just going in each day and Xeroxing or mimeographing, whatever they were doing, tons and tons, and driving it to the kids.
Right. Right. You know? Unthinkable, I mean, really. Yeah.
It's absolutely unthinkable these days, which, you know, again, we need the broadband. We need to make sure everybody has it. I always say it's like the TVA, et cetera. Okay, so with all that, the TVA, again, provide electricity for people who didn't have it, okay, back in the 1930s. Can you imagine living without electricity? Well, people did.
Exactly.
All right, now we say we can't imagine living without broadband. Okay, well, people did, and it's just nuts. We got to make these changes because the whole world is digital these days. I mean, it's just crazy. What have you seen, you know, among the districts that you're working with, okay? What were the trends that you saw and the patterns, okay, where you were working deep in? You know, and by the way, describe your job. What do you do over there? I know you're a senior VP of learning, but what is your actual job? You know, you're not in a job interview. I'm just curious, yeah.
Yeah, no. So it's funny. It's a great question. So I actually joined Achieve 3000 because Achieve 3000 acquired Actively Learn, which – was a digital platform that I and an old friend of mine designed based on my work at Loudoun School for Advanced Study. So I basically said, you know, I built a school which I think is the best place to teach, the best place to learn, But technology has a role even there to provide, you know, opportunities when kids are working outside of the classroom, or opportunities for engagement. And so, you know, part of my job there is to kind of make sure Actively Learn continues to get in front of as many students as possible, because I think it is a great way to engage. And the other side is kind of a mix of where are we headed? So that's the learning part, kind of where is education headed, and really thinking about the future of education. So that's kind of the mix of the job right now. And as you may know, we joined McGraw-Hill effective yesterday. So
yeah,
we're really
exactly.
looking at a huge opportunity going ahead to put the best.
Well, Achieve 3000, to get everybody to Achieve3000.com, and thank you for reminding me, they were just acquired by McGraw-Hill. That is done and in process, so to speak. Okay, which is great. Congratulations, everybody, on both
Thank
ends
you.
Of that deal. That's a good one. I like that one. You know, and I just think it's just really a good move in every regard. But you know what I find interesting? You had your Loudoun School for Advanced Studies. What grades were they? How'd you work that? Was that
grade 12? 6 to 12? Grade
okay, 6 to 12. And you knew that if I may, education needed a kick in the behind. Okay, so you created a school
yes.
that allowed that to do that. And this is not derogatory towards anybody, and I know you would agree with me there.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, my question is, okay, what you did at your Loudoun School, is that still running, by the way? Is it still up and running?
Yes, still running.
Okay.
I think it's in its 13th year now, so doing well.
Not bad. Congratulations. All right. So,
thank you.
But the point is, what you've done there, again, creating a love of learning, okay, and using the best things for advanced studies, okay, can that be duplicated? You know, we talk about where things are going. Can that be duplicated, all right, in a public school?
Yes. I absolutely. I mean, I'm a product of public schools and public colleges. And, you know, we all know, you know, when you've got a great teacher in the classroom and you have a chance to really think, I mean – education can be beautiful. That to me is the goal. And I feel like, you know, one
right.
of the things that technology allows us is it allows every teacher everywhere to have access to great content
yeah.
and meaningful interactions so that teachers anywhere, students anywhere, rural Arkansas, you know, Northern Virginia where I am, China, they have the opportunity to have conversations, you know, give students work worth doing, which to me is the high bar, and to provide feedback and interaction so that students get the guidance they need. So absolutely, absolutely. And I think your point about kind of what are districts doing now, the best districts are doing that right now, even in the midst of all of these challenges.
Yeah, they really are. And I'm going to, by the way, you said you're in Virginia right now, and I just want to make the point, everybody, they got a big election everywhere. We have an election up here in Maine. Don't forget to vote. Okay, voting.
That's
matters.
What I'm doing right after this.
There you go,
Larry. I'm That's, off to vote. Off to vote.
And actually, your wife called me and said, "Please, during the interview, tell him don't forget to vote right after this."
Yeah,
I'm only
exactly,
kidding.
Exactly.
She didn't actually do that.
Yeah, it can slip.
Okay.
It can slip.
Yeah, but it can slip your mind. I know what that happened. Everybody, I'm talking to. Don't forget to vote. Okay, it's Tuesday, November 2nd. All right, it's good stuff. So, with all that said, how what's your feel about the are districts doing enough ed tech wise these days? Okay, and what's coming down the pike? What do you want them to do? Where do you see it going? You know what I mean? What do you want out
yeah.
of ed tech?
Yeah.
Maybe that's another way to put it.
You know, I think it's two questions, Larry, and I think it's a good question. I think number one is, what do we as providers of ed tech have to do to better serve students,
yeah.
educators, administrators? And that's a big question, because we frankly have to make it easier and more effective and more valuable. But for districts, what we've seen is the districts that we saw succeed during the pandemic closures and into the pandemic openings are those who really understood that the old ways were done, that you really had to make a commitment to using
yeah.
technology to get the right content, to engage with students, to provide feedback and assessment. And half measures don't work anymore. So if I was to say kind of what have I seen that works, it's those leaders who realize that half measures won't work anymore, and we really need to be all in. And technology is part of the solution. Technology isn't perfect, but you simply cannot plan for the future without understanding that you are going to be finding, delivering content, engaging with students using technology.
Right.
You know, even if in 24 months we're all back in the classroom and everything's great again, we definitely have to know that, you know, as with the rest of our lives, you know, as the rest of our lives in terms of professional work or social interaction. So I think what we saw is the districts that moved quickly, that made an investment in technology, that helped their teachers and leaders understand how to use it and who continue to provide those opportunities. I think those are the ones that we've seen, see the greatest opportunity and the least loss of momentum over the past 20 months or so.
Do you see that there's a challenge in getting that message across? And I'll say it in two ways. Is there a challenge getting that message across to educators? Because in my way of thinking, almost every professional educator knows this is coming, this is there or coming down the pike soon. Okay? But the challenge is always money. Okay? The district has to buy this stuff and make sure it works. Okay? And make sure it works to get the people wherever they may be. Okay? And so do we need more messaging? Let me say it this way. Do the ed tech companies need to help create the message to the general population, all right, that this is a must, here's why we do this, and it's coming down the pike? It's almost like saying, instead of your doctor having an X-ray machine, he's just going to feel around and send you a Polaroid. That doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need the technology, but we lag behind in education, and because we have to go to the community to get it. So, this is a long way of phrasing the question. I'm kind of doing it as I'm going along here. Okay. Should the ed tech companies be involved in the messaging? And I'm going to use an analogy that everybody's familiar with. Okay. And that's the pharmaceutical companies. Over the past 30 years, they've simply bypassed the doctors, and as we watch TV, we see all these ads for pills that we can't get unless the doctor gives them to us. Okay,
yeah.
But they went around the prescriber, so to speak, to encourage you. Should ed tech companies? That's the first time I've ever asked this question. But should ed tech companies really get involved in that, talking to the public? There you go.
Yeah,
there's one to
ponder
for
right,
today.
No. I think it's a great question. I mean, what's great about education in America, I think, is that it's local. Citizens have a voice. You elect your school board. You know, you pay taxes, and you are part of it indirectly. And I think you're asking a great question. How do parents and students have a greater say? And, you know, do companies have a part in that? I think the challenge always in education for an ed tech company is, you know, I think Actively Learn is a phenomenal product, and I love it, and I want kids using it. But, you know, we all do in this space. So how do you balance the public service part of it to say we really want students and teachers to have the best tools possible against our own financial interest? And that's always tricky, but I do think we as ed tech companies have a real responsibility to make sure that whatever we're offering to schools really works, that it's real, it's substantive. It's not just, you know, as you recall, at some point, ebooks were just digital. They were just PDFs. You know, you just scanned a page, made it digital. That's not substantive technology. That's not meaningful change. So I think to answer your question, I think definitely educating the public about what's available. I think learning more and more about what parents and students and educators need. But I think you're right in the sense that public education has kind of been a little bit slow to adopt some of the technologies and how we can accelerate that. I think COVID did a lot of that, but I think you're asking an interesting question about how do we get people to be part of that conversation so that we make the necessary changes.
Yeah, because if you don't involve the public, again, you just said it, it's public money. And they don't understand it. It's the most interesting thing. Everybody went to school, okay? But unfortunately, they remember the school they went to 20 years ago.
Right.
Okay? And things have changed. All right? It's one thing we all have in common, okay? And we all want our kids to do better than we did. but things have changed. You know, it's the old joke. Why don't they just do it like I did? You know, when I was a kid,
Sure
it was easy. But things change, obviously, and it might be more incumbent. I don't know. I never thought about this before. For the tech companies to really get involved in public messaging, to get that point across. Okay, just something to consider. I don't know. I just found it really a thoughtful question.
It's an interesting question,
Follow the great pharmaceutical companies and see what happens there if we do all that. Here we go. You know, it's great. So, you know, when a school district, and you have to do you do this every day, when a school district is looking to purchase, okay, what are they looking, okay? What should they be looking for? What questions should they be asking?
Great question. And, you know, what we've found, you know, I co-founded Actively Learn, and we saw it really increase in usage when schools closed. And we've looked back at kind of what the results have been, you know, since March 2020. We found there are five best practices for schools that use, you know, technology for synchronous, asynchronous learning. Number one is, you know, it should be engaging and accessible content. Number two, we have to provide continuity of core instruction so that there's, you know, no loss as you transition between the home and the school. Number three is an ability to really share teacher resources district-wide. So if you've got good stuff in this school or this department, be able to share it across a school or a district. Number four, empower timely feedback. Students need to know how they're doing. They need to know what they can do better. And finally, and maybe most importantly, use tools that are easy to implement. I think one of the keys that we can lose sight of on the outside is I focus on a single product or a single set of tools. Well, teachers have three dozen tools they're supposed to learn and use. They're supposed to prepare for class, and they're supposed to know the new technology, and they're supposed to understand, you know, their LMS. It's a lot. And I think that last point is the greatest challenge for us in providing solutions for schools is how do we not complicate teachers' lives? How do we make their lives better? Because as I mentioned at the outset, teacher retention, I would say, is the largest challenge right now. So how do we not more to worry about? How do we make it easier? I think that's a big –
That's a good point.
You know, that's one of our key responsibilities as providers.
You know, there's another side to that, teacher retention. Not only teacher retention, but teacher recruiting is very, very difficult right now. And your point's well taken. There were actually, and I remember this in Clark County a few years ago in Nevada. They were trying to get, you know, if you're a waitress, but you had 2 years of college and you want to become a teacher, we can get you in a classroom pretty soon. Okay, because we really need teachers. It was that kind of a thing, okay? And that happened in Clark. I'm sure it happened in other places. Okay, it's fairly well known. But your point's well taken. The better and easier we can make the ed tech developments work, the better off we're going to help teachers, okay? Because I'm telling you, the cohorts are low in education schools right now.
That's right?
And we've got to be able to create the tools that allow really good teaching from everybody as suddenly a long-term substitute, okay, becomes a full-time educator, that type of thing.
That's
something
right.
like that.
It
really is. And it's interesting the way it falls back on the industry, which people always forget how much the industry offers with these things. It's just so amazing. And by the way, I loved your point three before, sharing what you're doing across the district. When I was a teacher, not only did we not know what was going on in our department, we barely knew what was going on in our department, we didn't even know what was going on with other departments. Okay, I was social studies, we had no idea what was going on in math, all right, or science or whatever, and let alone with the other schools in the district. Okay, my standing joke was that the elementary. Yeah, the elementary schools were there so we could blame them, okay? And I found out that when I got to teaching high school from junior high, I found out they were blaming us, okay?
So we
just got to share. I mean, I thought that was a very important use of ed tech. It's just amazing. I got to ask one more thing before we go here. deep. You got the National Literacy Summit coming up on November 9th next week. All right, and people can go to literacysummit.com and get all the information. I hope they do. Are you speaking there?
I'm moderating a panel, integrating digital curriculum to accelerate learning engagement. So exactly on topic, it's in the morning of the 9th. I'm moderating a panel of district leaders who are going to share their
cool.
experiences. So I think your listeners would love to hear from the people out in the world and seeing what's working and what's making a difference.
Well, you guys are doing a great job. It's an Achieve 3000 program, okay? And this is just great, and I think it's a successful practices network as well. Okay, if you go to literacysummit.com, that's a site dedicated to this extraordinary thought leaders building tomorrow's literacy, and I might add tomorrow is today. Okay, we can't
Absolutely.
Wait. We don't have the joy of waiting till tomorrow anymore. Okay,
yeah,
we have to do it today. Okay, we put off stuff for the last 80 years, but it's the time we.
It's time to catch up. That's right.
It's time to catch up. You know, this is a good thing you guys are doing. The Literacy Summit, okay, November 9th, but you can go to literacysummit.com and get all the information. I notice here, I just want to say this, you can also get 50% off using code FAMLITDAY, and that's up there right now. Deep, this is great. It's nice to know you. Thank you so much for being here.
Nice to chat, Larry. Appreciate the opportunity.
I hope one of these days we meet, okay? You're an interesting
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, and now. Now, wait, go vote. We're done now. Go vote.
Oh, I'm on my way.
Good
man. Thank you.
I love it. Okay? Thanks,
take care.
Deep. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's Deep Saran. What a good guy. All right? He's VP of Learning at Achieve 3000, which he used to own Actively Learn that was purchased or acquired by Achieve 3000, which is a great company, Achieve3000.com. It's Stuart Udell's company. All right? And everybody I talk to, they reflects how good the company is, and they reflect Stu's efforts and all that sort of thing. It's really just good stuff. And don't forget about this Literacy Summit, literacysummit.com, achieve3000.com. We'll archive at ace-ed.org, and that'll link you over to SEL today. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Be safe, and thanks for listening. Wherever you are, go vote.